All right. Now, many of you have heard about the high-profile case where more than 100 teens were rescued in a weekend sex trafficking raid, and over 150 people were arrested. And this is a major problem, not only around the world, but in our country and in our very own backyard, and we may not even know it. So with us today, I have a filmmaker, Michael Corey Davis, who's done films such as Svetlana's Journey and Cargo, Innocence Lost, on the issue of traffic. And he's going to tell us all about the problem that is sex trafficking around the world. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing real good. You're one of the first people that got Svetlana's Journey right. Right on the first take.
I was working on that one. So let's talk about this. How big of a problem is sex trafficking?
In the United States, which is what we're focusing on for the purpose of this today's conversation.
Right.
The numbers are 100,000 plus children are actually trafficked across the United States annually, and then 100,000 to 300,000 children are at risk annually of being trafficked. But we need to really look at those numbers greater, because we in the movement, within the government and law enforcement, just recently started actually taking numbers in regard to analyzing building a database of how many children are actually trafficked. A lot of these kids have been put in jail as criminals, which has been part of the problem. So when they're rescued, they're viewed as criminals, or in some instances, police departments wanting to actually protect the child and keep the child off the street. Mm-hmm. They put them in jail or put them in the system, mm-hmm. which then puts them into foster home or group homes and things like that.
Right.
But they're never labeled a trafficking victim, and that's recently just started across the United States. So we know in the movement that the number is much higher than 100,000. And in fact, if we see that in one coordinated effort by different various law enforcement agencies yields 115 children rescued over the course of 2 days, then you can only imagine what's really happening in the, with this underground nature of this crime.
Right. So, give our listeners an idea of, when we say kids, what ages are we talking about that these kids are being caught up in this child sex trafficking ring?
That's a great question. Let me answer that first with two statistics. 55% of the pornography distributed all around the world, 55% of it is created in the United States. Child pornography. 55% of the child pornography all around the world that's distributed all around the world is created in the United States. Now, that's an important statistic to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I tell you that the average age of entry into forced prostitution in the United States is 12 years old. So when you start to think that, see, what people don't understand is that there is a price tag on children's head. For pedophiles who disseminate and distribute images online in underground networks and sell pictures of kids that they take to pimps who actually sell these children to men on the streets and hotels and parks and truck stops and so forth all across this country, there is a price tag on children's heads. So when a pimp can make upwards of $150,000 a year pimping out one child. And it's very different when you talk about pimping a woman compared to a child, because the idea of a child creates and fantasy for the buyer, the John, that this child is clean, is innocent, therefore they have a higher value attached to them. So that's why the pimps and traffickers like to exploit young children. And that's why I tell parents, you have to be doing your job to keep your children safe,
right.
Which means you can't avoid this conversation. So ever since our campaign has gone live, one of the things that we've seen is that so many parents are unwilling to have this conversation with their children, like, hey, there is evil in the world. And because they don't want to have that conversation about sex and about rape and violence and abuse, they leave their children susceptible to traffickers.
Right. And that actually is going to lead me to my next question. So what is there a certain group of children that's more at risk to be caught up in a sex trafficking ring, or is it just something that could be just random?
Great question. Yes, and yes. So this is truly a great question. So let's look at the kids that are most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
There are children, obviously, that are going to be most vulnerable, the ones who are neglected, the ones who are abandoned, the ones who are already sexually abused, have been physically, emotionally, mentally abused. Obviously, those children are going to be at risk. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at that number. Let's talk about abuse, right?
Yeah.
No one wants to talk about that. You know, there are 7 million kids that are abused annually in the United States. 78% of that 7 million are abused by neglect. Okay, so when you start to think about such a large number of children in America that are abused, and in fact, America as an industrialized nation is the number one country with the most abuses for children. Actually, it is. So when you start thinking about 7 million children, 80% of them neglected by family members and by parents and loved ones, and you have an opportunity for a trafficker to approach that young boy, approach that young girl, it becomes very easy to manipulate and exploit a child who's been neglected, who doesn't know what love is. It's very easy to go to a child and offer some form of support, food, material item, phone, clothing, you know, even a listening ear is all that you need. And when you talk about the Romeo pimp, what I call the guys who know how to woo a girl, you know, it becomes even easier.
Yeah.
So definitely when we talk about abused children, which is a large portion of our nation, no one wants. No one. That leaves children vulnerable. Poverty leaves children at risk and vulnerable. But let's also talk about the other vulnerable children, which most people don't want to talk about. Because when you say poverty, immediately people think Hispanic and you know, and Black children.
Right.
But there are a number of Caucasian suburban families that have experienced their children being trafficked. The thing is that these families don't come out. I work with law enforcement, I work with FBI and federal agents, and the reality is that they have those cases too, but those parents are shamed and they don't want to come out. And the reason why those kids are susceptible in many instances is because those kids lack street smarts, those kids lack, those parents lack the willingness to believe that it can happen in their community because they're in a certain tax bracket, and traffickers love those kids just as much. In fact, what people don't understand is that the demand outside of America is for white children. You know, let's look at this even deeper. You know, when we start looking at television shows and media and sexual images and pornography, you know, a lot of that image that goes out to the world is of young white women.
Right.
That's what's always being pushed out of America as, you know, as the highest beauty, the highest form of beauty. And in fact, we push it out through our media stream as also very young. So we're already pushing out this image of very young white women being the epitome of beauty in America. Well, when you have a world that is not white, you know, it seems like in the United States, most people think the world is white.
Right.
But the world is not white. So when you push that image out to a world of men and Johns and exploiters who now are craving that, when they come into this country or they go on their child sex tourism binges, what do you think they're looking for? Do you think they're looking for the young Black girl that they may be able to, they can get in Africa if they're from Africa, the young ethnic girl in India? No, they're looking for that girl that you've put up at this high esteem, and that's what they're looking after. So there is a supply, there is a demand for the very girls that a lot of white affluent family people in the community want to think there is not a demand for.
Right.
There is a very large demand.
Right. So, and to go along with what you said a little bit ago, I mean, a lot of people won't even realize that this is going on right in their backyard. And we here in Cleveland had the unfortunate rude awakening to find 3 of our lost ones who had been missing for over 10 years. We're right here in our own backyard, and they had to experience horrible, horrible situations where a lot of us saw the scenes of them with chains and chained to the wall down in the basement. And just we have to be more vigilant, and we have to pay more attention to what's going on in our own backyard, which brings me to our next question. Our guest is Michael Corey Davis, filmmaker and actor. Let's talk about your organization, I Stop Traffic. You've been working at this for over 10 years. Let's talk about what you do with I Stop Traffic.
Sure. Well, you know, this started for me, you know, in 2003, like you just said. I'm an actor as well. I was in Bulgaria making a movie, and I saw young children being prostituted, you know, on the streets and in my hotel, and I wanted to do something. So I created a movie called Svetlana's Journey based on the story of one of those girls who was 13 and forced into prostitution. She was sold by her adopted parents. So it was a horrendous story. But what I learned then is what I'm doing now, which is that film has the ability to beat out statistics and make people get emotionally connected. When you throw statistics at people in numbers and academia, what have you, people hear it, but it goes from one ear into the other because they don't really want to digest that. Mm-hmm. But when they see one story depicted on film, there's an emotional connection that happens. And I learned that when I made that movie. So I created I Stop Traffic as the campaign for Artists United for Social Justice, which is the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And what I Stop Traffic's purpose is to, one, create awareness using multimedia. So we create a film, and our new film is called Close to Home. And Close to Home tells the story of three American teenagers in different cities who are trafficked. So it really exposes how this crime happens, who's involved in it, and what we can do to actually make a difference. And this is not a documentary. It's a narrative, full-length feature Hollywood film. From there, we use the support that we get from society to support the nonprofits who are doing the rehabilitation work and the preventative work. So that's phase two. And then we also work to push lawmakers to make sure that laws are intact in it and created to keep Johns and traffickers behind bars for very long periods of time, because in a lot of states, still, traffickers and pimps are able to get out very quickly just on bail and bonds. So we need them to be viewed as true criminals and kept in jail, you know, what we would like ideally for life. Lastly, we work towards ending the demand. So when we think about this supply, we have to also think about, well, why is there a demand? And who is the demand? Well, the demand are obviously men. And we have to start to empower other men to be willing and bold enough and be courageous enough to come out and say, hey, I stop the traffic of young children. I don't support this. And we have to have a conversation about abuse. We have to have a conversation about why men are perpetrating this crime in the first place. And we have to create that open dialogue. So our End Demand campaign aligns with other organizations to do just that, as well as going into schools and talking directly with young boys to start to create a sense of consciousness and a lack of misogynistic attitudes, which we know in turn creates healthier male perspectives as adults.
Right, right. Wow, this is a lot of information to digest. And you know what? It's important. This is probably one of the most important interviews that we've done here on Access Cleveland. So let our listeners know, how can someone get involved to try to stop this horrendous practice? What can the average person do?
Well, first, we would love for people to go to our iStopTraffic.com website and take part in our campaign to raise awareness and do the other two phases that I talked about in regards to ending the demand and helping nonprofits across the nation. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. And then number two, you know, there's some simple things. If you're a parent, like I said, you have to have a conversation with your children. Mm-hmm. You cannot keep your children in the dark about this crime, you know, because they don't see it coming. So the first thing that parents have to do is educate themselves on the issue. Don't intentionally be comfortably numb to this because it's a taboo subject. You have to become aware so that you can protect your child. That's number one. You know, there are other things such as, you know, being conscious of seeing, you know, numbers of being conscious of seeing groups of men going into homes, especially like when you think about cities like Detroit that have these so many foreclosures and things like that.
Right.
You know, there are instances where traffickers and pimps are now breaking into these homes that are foreclosed and squatting in them and actually running them as brothels. You know, so there are people in these communities who are watching this happening, seeing men constantly coming and going, but not contacting law enforcement, not calling the trafficking hotline. And these are some of the problems that we're trying to, you know, spotlight. We have to become a community that gets involved when we see things happening. Some of the other things that we can do to be involved is remove this perspective of the victim is at fault.
Right.
In particular within the black community, there is this idea that the victim, well, she wanted to do it. Well, that happened because it's her fault. Mm-hmm. You know, that happened because somewhere along the lines an adult failed that child.
Yeah.
You know, some of the other things we can do is skill sets. A lot of these kids who have no opportunities, who do fall victim to traffickers, they fall victim to traffickers because they don't have any opportunities, because they don't have any mentors. So if you have a skill set that you know can help give a child an opportunity potentially in this life, give them a job, even give them just a sense of purpose and sense of value, which is what the traffickers really instill in these kids, is a sense of purpose and value that was coming from a fictitious place.
Right.
If you as an adult have something to give to that child in a positive way, then you have to do that. We have to become mentors. We have to understand that it truly does take a village to raise a child. We have to get back to that old adage. And again, we also have a petition on our website. On our iStopTraffic.com website. We're asking people to sign it. We're about 12,000 signatures away from getting safe harbor laws passed across the United States. Mm-hmm. The safe harbor laws ensure that all children who are rescued by law enforcement, when found in these massage parlors, motels, and so forth, it ensures that they are not viewed as criminals. Therefore, they get the appropriate resources that are available to them, that our tax dollars are paying into. Mm-hmm. They get those resources available to them. So that's therapy, that's rehabilitation, that's being able to go to the hospital and getting taken care of. These girls and these children are riddled with STDs,
yeah.
you know, that they get
yeah.
from these jobs. You know, and then if they're viewed as criminals, they're going in jail. They're not getting these treatment services that they so desire, which ultimately means they're going to go to jail or go to a group home and then come right back and most likely go right back into the traffickers'
right.
hands.
You know,
so we're further victimizing as a society and a criminal system. We're further victimizing the victims.
Yep.
So these are some of the things that we can do. And that petition is at iStopTraffic.com. And if you go to the problem, it's the first thing that comes up on our page for you to sign.
Absolutely.
And that's a simple thing.
Absolutely. So this is what I want my listeners to do. I want you to go to iStopTraffic.com right now. Sign the petition. And let's get these laws passed so that we can get these sick people off of the streets, and we can take our children back. That's what we need to do. Michael Corey Davis, you've seen him in CSI New York, Private Practice, Tyler Perry's For Colored Girls, and For Better or Worse. And if you haven't seen his two award-winning films, Svetlana's Journey and Cargo Innocence Lost, I want you to go out and check out both of those movies right now, because knowledge is key. And if you don't know the problem, then we won't be able to fix it. Michael Corey Davis, I want to thank you again so much for your time and explaining this very complicated but extremely important issue. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.